Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
A very, very warm welcome. And if you're visiting us for the first time, you are especially welcome this morning. And we really invite you to join us for tea or coffee after the service. That would be great. And there are no notices today, so this is short and sweet. Thank you.
Thank you, Hilary, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
It's good to see you all on this beautiful, bright, sunny winter's morning, and it's good that we can be together as a fellowship at the beginning of this year. It is our annual covenant service, so later on in the service we will be renewing our covenant prayer together and sharing in the bread and wine. But most of all, God is with us. Let's have a few moments of quiet before we begin. And we begin by singing, "Praise my soul, the King of Heaven." And we come to our opening prayers. Let us pray. And when I say, "Blessed be God forever," would you respond by repeating, "Blessed be God forever." Glory to the Father, the God of love, who created us, who continually preserves and sustains us, who has loved us with an everlasting love, and given us the light of the knowledge of his glory in the face of Jesus Christ. Blessed be God forever. Blessed be God forever. Glory to Jesus Christ, our Saviour, who, though he was rich, yet for our sake became poor, and was tested in every way as we are, yet without sin, who proclaimed the good news of the kingdom and was obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross, who was raised from the dead and is alive forever, and has opened the kingdom of heaven to all who trust in him, who is seated at God's right hand in glory and will come to be our judge. Blessed be God forever. Blessed be God forever. Glory to the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, by whom we are born into the family of God and made members of the body of Christ, whose witness confirms us, whose wisdom teaches us, whose power enables us, who will do for us more than we can ask or think. Blessed be God forever. Blessed be God forever. To the one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be praise and glory forever. Amen. God of grace, through the mediation of your Son, you call us into a new covenant. Help us, therefore, to draw near with faith and join ourselves in a perpetual covenant with you, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And a blessing over the offering. Lord, we know that it is by your grace and mercy that we have these offerings, these monetary offerings brought today and sent over the internet, that all that we have is by your grace. We thank you that we can offer these tokens back to you, and with them we offer you our very lives. We pray, Lord, that you will accept all and use all to the furtherance of your kingdom and the glory of your name. Amen. And now we have our first reading from Holy Scripture. I think it's Anne reading from Deuteronomy, and then it will be Brian reading from John.
Deuteronomy chapter 29, the Lord's covenant with Israel. Today, you are standing in the presence of the Lord your God, all of you, your leaders and officials, your men, women and children, and the foreigners who live among you and cut wood and carry water with you. You are here today to enter into this covenant that the Lord your God is making with you, and to accept its obligations, so that the Lord may now confirm you as his people and be your God as he promised you and your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You are not the only ones with whom the Lord is making this covenant with its obligations. He is making it with all of us who stand here in his presence today, and also with our descendants who are not yet born. Amen.
The Gospel reading is from John 15, verses 1 to 10, Jesus, the real vine. I am the real vine, and my Father is the gardener. He breaks off every branch in me that does not bear fruit, and he prunes every branch that does bear fruit, so that it will be clean and bear more fruit. You have been made clean already by teaching I have given you. Remain united to me, and I will remain united to you. A branch cannot bear fruit by itself. It can do so only if it remains in the vine. In the same way, you cannot bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. Whoever remains in me, and I in him, will bear much fruit, for you can do nothing without me. Whoever does not remain in the vine is thrown out like a branch and dries up. Such branches are gathered up and thrown into the fire, where they are burnt. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, then you will ask for anything you wish, and you shall have it. My Father's glory is shown by your bearing much fruit, and in this way you become my disciples. I love you just as the Father loves me. Remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. Amen. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Anne and Brian. Let us pray. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, how many of us would consider ourselves to be gardeners in some sense? I think more than that, really, yes. In some sense, yes. Some of us maybe for a hobby. I don't know if anybody has had gardening as a profession at any point in their lives. No, but lots of us as hobbies, or more than hobbies, lifestyles. Anybody got an allotment? Yes, an allotment, a couple of allotments. Oh, yeah, brilliant. Has anybody grown tomatoes, even if they haven't done allotments and things? A lot of us have. A lot of us have a go at tomatoes, don't we? So to have a successful garden, healthy shrubs, a good crop of flowers, a big bag of juicy tomatoes, what do you have to do? Feed them, somebody said. Tender loving care. Okay, tender loving care. Pardon? Time. Devote your time to them, okay? Anything else? Water them. Give them the food and the nourishment and the water they need. Sorry? Pruning, somebody said. Pruning, and somebody said pinch the side shoots. Patience, yeah. And pinch the side shoots out as well as they're growing. So there's lots of things, isn't there? You need to, at the appropriate time, give them daily attention even. And some of the tasks that are essential to a productive garden can seem a bit harsh. We've said pinching out those extra side shoots that look really good and healthy, don't they? And you think, well, I could get another branch of tomatoes there. But actually, you have to pinch them out. Deadheading, of course, even when the flowers maybe haven't gone completely over. And then thinning out healthy plants. If you plant a whole row and they're all growing nicely, and yet you have to thin out every so often, every 10 or whatever it is, even though they're growing well. And some of it looks really quite drastic. I know you said tender loving care, but some of it is quite drastic, isn't it? That's part of the care. Definitely. So sometimes when everything looks as it's growing happily, it can be tempting to leave well alone. But if we don't take action, drastic looking action at times, that's nice music, isn't it? It's okay. I don't think I can compete with that lovely music, though. But if we don't take this drastic looking action, the plants will end up squeezing each other out. They'll end up putting energy into too many shoots, and so not enough for some really good, strong shoots. The plant will grow into a tangle, grow in on itself. It'll run off and spread everywhere. Even natural-looking gardens that many of us are turning to now, many of those, or all of them, take actually a lot of tending and care to keep them looking good. Well, as we've said, whether we're gardeners or not, we all know that plants need looking after, outside plants, inside plants. They need care and attention, and in many cases need that pruning in order to be best, to be the best that they can be. And all the hard work that's been mentioned enables the plant to be its best self, the best it can be, the way it was meant to be, rather than being overgrown, weak, and sickly. So to prune or not to prune, that is often the question, isn't it? Is pruning a good thing or a bad thing? We're in our reading from John about vine and branches. We're given the picture of a garden, a very specialised garden, a vineyard, to help us understand how we can become our best selves, the best that we can be, the way that we were always meant to be. In the passage, Jesus is the true vine, God is the gardener, and we are the branches. The gardener knows what's best for the vines. They have to be pruned in order for them to grow well and produce fruit. And it isn't only the unproductive branches that have to be pruned in a vineyard. It's also some of the productive ones, because this will keep the plant as a whole in tip-top condition. In the covenant promises that we will make together shortly, we offer ourselves to God and accept that as part of God's loving, tender care, we will need pruning and moulding and shaping into the Christians, the disciples that God knows that we can be. And we accept in those prayers, in those words, that some of this pruning, perhaps much of it, may not be pleasant, at least at the time. But in the long run, it is for our own good. And of course, it doesn't mean when we make these promises that God will purposely then do lots of horrible things to us in order to punish us for not being fruitful or not as fruitful as we could be. That's not what God is like. That's not what this covenant that God initiates is like. What it means is that there are things in your life and in mine that are not helpful, that spoil us, if you like. Spoilers for ourselves, spoilers for God and God's purposes through our lives. And it's those things that God wants to show us, to highlight to us, and to remove from us so that we can stay as close to Jesus, as close to the vine as possible. Because it is the branches of a vine that are closest to the main vine that are always the most productive. For our Christian lives to be the best they can be, to be as productive as they can be, we need to stay as close to the true vine as possible. And surely then, getting rid of anything that prevents us from doing that, whatever it may be, it has to be a good thing, doesn't it? It clears the way to get closer to God. When we make our covenant promises, we accept God's offer of relationship with God, a relationship of God's love and grace. We accept God's offer to be our God, and we accept God's invitation to become God's people. God wants a covenant relationship with us, not because we've earned it or we're special and deserve it, but because God loves us and sees us as we can be, how we're meant to be. God sees the best of us. And like the gardener, God is willing to put in the hard work to tend us and lovingly prune us and train us so that we flourish and produce fruit for the kingdom. This covenant, it's all about what God does and how we respond. As we heard in our first reading from Deuteronomy, the work is all God's. The call to covenant was God's. The initiative is all God's. And we can say yes or no. But we only stand here with that choice because of God's mercy and grace towards us. Today, like every day, is an opportunity to move forward in our faith, to acknowledge that we're all on a journey and we haven't got there yet. But it is a journey of adventure, of change and challenge and growth into Christ-likeness, a journey we make together and with God. And when we move into Christ-likeness, when people look at us, they don't see us, they see Christ, and they want to know Christ for themselves. Today, as we make our promises, as we come to the Lord's table and share in the bread and wine, we do this together. The Christian faith is a relational faith. We're in relationship with God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and in relationship with each other. We're part of the vine, the body of Christ. We are individuals, but we can't be separated from the corporate whole. Sisters and brothers, we're in this together with God. So let us, individually and together, stop fearing God's pruning shears. Let's see them as helping us to become who we're meant to be in God. Let's stop fighting against God or trying to have our will rather than God's, as though we know better than God does about what's best for us as individuals and as God's church in this place. Let's start 2024 as we mean to go on, fully committed to God, fully committed to God's will, fully committed to God's call on our lives. God's call on our time, on our money, on our possessions, on everything. Ready and willing, eager even, to discern God's will and follow it. And then next year at this time, when we stand here again, about to make our covenant promises in 2025, we will be able to look back and trace that care and tending that we have received from God, the pruning and the increased fruit of our walk with God, and see that we are ever closer to the true vine. Amen. And now at this point in our service, before we make our covenant promises, it seemed a good opportunity to welcome three people who have transferred their membership to Poynton in these last few months. Unfortunately, I think two of the people aren't here. One, Alan Rashley, he has transferred. He transferred to Macclesfield, and now he's transferred back to Poynton. Rosemary Waters, who many of you will know, who lives at Woodlands, and we hoped would be here today, but she hasn't been able to come, has she? So we're welcoming her. And we have Eliza Ho, who is here with us. Many of you will know Eliza. She's worked in the toddlers for a long time, helping there. She often plays the piano for the Wednesday services. And in many, many other ways, she encourages our life in the prayer meetings on a Wednesday and such like. Recently, you've started working at a different circuit, haven't you? So sadly for us, we see a little bit less of Eliza, and probably less in the mornings than we would really like to, because she's learning to be a worship leader and is taking services in the, it's the Glossop and Tameside, isn't it, circuit that Eliza works. But she wanted to move her membership here. She was a member in Hong Kong, and she's moved her membership here and feels that this is very much her church family from the very beginning. So it's been, well, how many years is it now that you've been part of our fellowship? How many years?
About 2.5,
yes, it is, isn't it? So it's lovely that we can welcome Eliza. Do you want to stand up? I'm sure not everybody knows you, but stand up. So it's certainly good to have you as a member of our church, and it's also good always when we can see you here as well. So God bless you, and bless you in the work that you're doing in Glossop and Tameside as well. Right. So I think now we will turn to our covenant, the covenant part of our service. Excuse me. God made a covenant with the people of Israel, calling them to be a holy nation, chosen to bear witness to his steadfast love, by finding delight in the law. The covenant was renewed in Jesus Christ, our Lord, in his life, work, death, and resurrection. In him, all people may be set free from sin and its power and united in love and obedience. In this covenant, God promises us new life in Christ. For our part, we promise to live no longer for ourselves, but for God. We meet, therefore, as generations have met before us, to renew the covenant which bound them and binds us to God. Let us then seek forgiveness for the sin by which we have denied God's claim upon us. Let us pray. God of mercy, hear us as we confess our sins. For the sin that has made us slow to learn from Christ, reluctant to follow him, and afraid to bear the cross. Lord, have mercy. For the sin that has caused the poverty of our worship, the formality and selfishness of our prayers, our neglect of fellowship and the means of grace, and our hesitating witness for Christ. Lord, have mercy. For the sin that has led us to misuse your gifts, evade our responsibilities, and fail to be good stewards of your creation. Lord, have mercy. Lord, forgive. For the sin that has made us unwilling to overcome evil with good, tolerant of injustice, quick to condemn, and selfish in our sharing your love with others. Lord, have mercy. Lord, forgive. We say together, have mercy on me, O God, in your constant love. In the fullness of your mercy, blot out my offences. Wash away all my guilt, and cleanse me from my sin. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Give me the joy of your help again, and strengthen me with a willing spirit. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just, and will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Therefore, to all who truly repent, this is his gracious word. Your sins are forgiven. Amen. Thanks be to God. And so, as we come to making our covenant promises, our covenant prayer, please stand or sit as you feel most comfortable. Sisters and brothers in Christ, let us again accept our place within this covenant, which God has made with us and with all who are called to be Christ's disciples. This means that, by the help of the Holy Spirit, we accept God's purpose for us and the call to love and serve God in all our life and work. Christ has many services to be done. Some are easy, others are difficult. Some bring honour, others bring reproach. Some are suitable to our natural inclinations and material interests. Others are contrary to both. In some we may please Christ and please ourselves. In others we cannot please Christ except by denying ourselves. Yet the power to do all these things is given to us in Christ, who strengthens us. Therefore, let us make this covenant of God our own. Let us give ourselves to God, trusting in God's promises and relying on God's grace. Eternal God, in your faithful and enduring love, you call us to share in your gracious covenant in Jesus Christ. In obedience, we hear and accept your commands. In love, we seek to do your perfect will. With joy, we offer ourselves anew to you. We are no longer our own, but yours. We say together, I am no longer my own, but yours. Your will, not mine, be done in all things, wherever you may place me, in all that I do, and in all that I may endure, when there is work for me, and when there is none, when I am troubled, and when I am at peace. Your will be done, when I am valued, and when I am disregarded, when I find fulfillment, and when it is lacking, when I have all things, and when I have nothing. I willingly offer all I have and am to serve you, as and where you choose. Glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are mine and I am yours. May it be so forever. Let this covenant now made on earth be fulfilled in heaven. Amen. And now I invite you to sit and think over some of those words that we have just said. As we have entered this covenant not for ourselves alone, but as God's servants and witnesses, let us pray for the church and for the world. Loving God, hear us as we pray for your holy Catholic Church. Make us all one, that the world may believe. Inspire and lead all who govern and hold authority in the nations of the world. Establish justice and peace among all people. Have compassion on all who suffer from any sickness, grief, or trouble. Deliver them from their distress. We praise you for all your saints who have entered your eternal glory. Bring us all to share in your heavenly kingdom. Lord our God, You have helped us by your grace to make these prayers, and you have promised through Christ our Lord that when two or three agree in his name, you will grant what they ask. Answer now your servants' prayers according to their needs. In this world, grant that we may truly know you, and in the world to come, graciously give us eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now we come to the peace. Please stand or sit as you feel most comfortable, and in a moment we'll offer each other the wave of peace. The Lord has made an everlasting covenant of peace with his people. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Let us offer each other the wave of peace. And we sing together our covenant hymn, God whose love is all around us. So please sit or stand as you feel most comfortable for the great prayer of thanksgiving. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. God, our Father, fountain of goodness, creator of all that is, you have made us in your own image. You have given us life and reason and love for one another, setting in our hearts a hunger for you. In darkness, you are our light. In adversity and temptation, our strength. You bear patiently with our folly and sin, granting us your law to guide us and your prophets to renew our faith. In the fullness of time, you came to us in love and mercy in Jesus Christ, your living word, full of grace and truth. He lived among us, declaring your forgiveness and revealing your wisdom in works of mercy and in his word of power. For us, he suffered and died upon the cross, by death destroying death. You raised him from the dead and exalted him to your right hand on high. Through him you sent your Holy Spirit to be the life and light of your people, gathered together in every time and place to glorify your holy name. With them and all the company of heaven, we join in the unending hymn of praise. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might,
Heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy God, pour out your Spirit, that these gifts of bread and wine may be for us the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this and eat it. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me." And Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. And so, Lord, we obey his command with this bread and this cup, by which we recall his death and resurrection, the source of our life and salvation. Grant that we who share in this holy sacrament may be united by your Spirit and grow into perfect love. Bring us, with those who have done your will in every age, into the light of your presence and the joy of your kingdom. Through Christ, with Christ, in Christ, in the power of the Holy Spirit, we worship you in songs of everlasting praise. Blessing and honour and glory and power be yours forever and ever. Amen. As our Saviour taught his disciples, we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. The things of God for God's holy people. Jesus Christ is holy. Jesus Christ is Lord. Glory to God the Father. And I invite you to now please sit. In a moment after the invitation, we will share the bread and wine as usual in continuous flow down through the middle and round. But however you feel most comfortable, please come forward when you are invited. This is an open table. Anybody and everybody who wishes to come to take the bread and wine are welcome. You don't have to be a member. You don't have to have been baptized. If you want to come for the bread and wine, please do, because it is Jesus who invites you here to this table. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. Those who come to me shall not hunger, and those who believe in me shall never thirst." Draw near with faith. And if the stewards could come forward. Body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life, and the body of Christ keep you in eternal life. body of Christ keep you in eternal life. Body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. Body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. Body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. Body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. Keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life on earth.
body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. And the body of Christ keep me in eternal life.
The blood of Christ shed for you.
Amen.
The blood of Christ shed for you.
And so let us pray. Faithful God, with these holy gifts, you have fed and strengthened us in Jesus Christ, your Son. Guide us on our way, that with all your faithful people, we may come to share the feast of your eternal kingdom through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And just before we sing our final hymn together this morning, are there any celebrations that we can celebrate for January? Any birthdays, any special anniversaries, any other good news or anything? Hillary's birthday on the 10th. Okay, Hillary's birthday on the 10th. Anything else? Anybody else? John? Your birthday on the 23rd of January. So we've got Hillary and we've got John for birthdays. Anybody else? Anything else we can celebrate together as we begin this new year? Well, should we sing happy birthday then, John? So to Hillary and John.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Hillary and John. Happy birthday to you.
Hey. Are you doing anything special, either of you? You don't know. You haven't been told yet, John.
Yeah.
No. I'm sure you'll do something. You're going to go out. Oh, you're going to go over to Chester and see Will for lunch. Oh, that sounds lovely. Well, I'm sure you'll have a lovely time when those days come. Bless you. And now we sing together our final hymn for this morning's service. Alleluia, sing to Jesus. And the blessing of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon us and remain with us forever. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.